come on. Set that mic over here, Pastor Tim, if you would. Good morning. How are you doing today? So I get to see who all came in after we started, after I started facing this way, actually. So I get to look at you and see who's here. This is a really special day. I feel like I need to dismiss the children to go to History Acres, but we're not doing that yet. We'll be doing it soon. So anticipate that coming, that we're going to have children's. I know it is pretty exciting for us that I used to say we love to get our hands on your little boys. I don't say that anymore. We love to give the kingdom of God to your children. So that's exciting for us. It really is. You know, it's this is an interesting slide. Uh-oh, is VMix working? It's an interesting slide you can't see. It's sort of dark. You know, I don't know if you've noticed, but have you paid attention? Welcome. Everybody online that's here with us today, we really do welcome you. We have one virtual testimony we're going to do this morning, but and I just want to give you some instructions. I'm not giving you instructions. I have like eight people giving short testimonies today while I'm preaching. Be sure, and even if you don't like them, to respond really well when they do it, okay? It's like, whoop, whoop, because it's a little scary to come here and talk to you guys. But I'm excited about it and what they're going to do. So here's the deal. Have you noticed how many decisions you have to make in our world today? It's like, my goodness, it's like you have to make decisions constantly. And this whole, the government, the political environment, the whole COVID thing, it just causes you to have to make decisions over and over and over again. And if you pay attention to the news, and especially depending on which news media you choose to listen to or read, it's a real worrisome time. Things look a little dark right now. Even in the United States, where we have this wonderful economy going on, this wonderful government where we're free, I don't worry about somebody breaking into my house in the middle of the night and in the name of the law and taking my children and my grandchildren. It's still in the midst of that. It just seems like everything's in upheaval, that everything's in an uproar. And I want to tell you, you begin to ask yourself, God, you got this, don't you? You do have a plan, don't you? Interesting. There we are up there, sort of. So it's working. There we go. I want to go to the darkness, though. Because it does seem dark right now. And you know, the truth is, God gave his answer to the darkness from the very beginning. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. It seems like everywhere you look, depending on which side you're on, it doesn't really matter, you can see darkness all around. Are you aware of the morality in our country? Are you aware of what's happening in the abortion world in our country? Are you aware of what's going on? If you're not, you just haven't listened to any media or talked to anybody at all in the last few months. It seems like there is, but I want to tell you, there was a time when God created the heavens and the earth. There was a time when everything was dark. And maybe right now you feel like that. Maybe you do. You know, I get those questions. What do we do? How do we navigate this world we live in? What decisions? You've got to make decisions every single day for you and your family. And does God have an answer for this? Was he ready for this? Listen, here's the end of that passage. There was darkness everywhere, and then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And I want to tell you, there's a God in the world today that's more powerful than the darkness. That every time God says, "Let there be light," the darkness has to flee. And that's been true since before creation. It's been true every day since then, and it's true today. I'm going to tell you who's bigger than the government, God himself. Who's bigger than politics? God is. Who's bigger than the economy? God. Who's bigger than COVID? God. It's never changed. You know, it's like, well, who wants to vote for the darkness? Raise up and stand up and raise your hand. Listen, you're going to be a loser because he's already lost. Now, I think there's a battle going on in our minds because everything around us is trying to tell us what doom and gloom. Oh, woe is me. Oh, don't have children. Listen, it's the best time in the history of the world to have children. And one way I can tell is because abortion is exploding. And it's like, why? Because they know these children that are yet to be born are the best generation that's ever been born. They're going to do things that we would stand back and go, oh, wow. They're going to fall in love with Jesus. They're going to see the truth. They're not going to be confused about gender. They're not going to be confused by the false narratives in advertising. They're going to have light. Why? Why do I believe there's light? Well, because, Alan, you're just an optimist, and you're just a name it and claim it guy, and you just like, no, my faith is in way more than that. Read the Bible. God wins, and he's been winning, and he's going to win, and it's not just my optimistic. I do have an optimistic bent. I mean, I honestly do. If you want doom and gloom, I will give you lots of constructive criticism, but inside, I'm an eternal optimist. One of the ways, somebody was making fun of me one time, and they said they had a dream, and I was in the dream. It's like a prophetic dream, right? So I'm all interested to hear, what was this dream about? And they said, well, you were in this neighborhood. It's one of those neighborhoods where the houses are really nice, and they all have sidewalks, they're back off, and there's trees everywhere, big mature oak trees. And so there's little critters, squirrels and stuff all around, and it's a really busy street in front of the house, and a squirrel got ran over. And have you ever seen one of those squirrels that they get ran over about 50 times to the point where they're just like one-dimensional now? They're just a flat. And you pick them up by the tail, and they just like they're flat. You ever seen those squirrels? You've seen those, right? They said you walked out of the front door, and you saw that squirrel out there, which had been run over 50 times and was as hard as a board. You ran out in the middle of the street, you stopped traffic, and you got down on your hands and knees, and you gave it mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. I want to be that fool that believes that about Jesus Christ in this world. I am that guy. You mean you really believe it's going to be okay? Yes. Why? God. Read your Bible. Experience his presence. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And the same God that created this place is still on the throne today. And I just want to encourage you today. We're going to talk about this because say this with me. Be the light. All right, say it a little more convincingly. Be the light. Okay. Don't forget that. We're going to go there in a little bit. First, I want to do something. Before we go there, Kay, would you come up here? And Jennifer Hughes, would you come up? I've asked people, because we've been talking about our mission statement. What's our purpose? You're going to be on this side. What's our purpose, you know? And I asked several people to tell how they're being the light. How are they creating opportunities in their life so people can experience God? So, Kay, you get to go first. You only have 28 minutes, maybe.
So, if I want to say, first of all, I wouldn't be able to open the door for others to experience God if I didn't first connect with him and build my relationship with the Lord.
Yeah, that's true.
And through my relationship with the Lord, I listen and I hear the ways that he has me to touch other people. And so some of the things just probably within the last 7 or 8 months, I've got my sister lives in Kentucky, and she's been going through a really hard time. And even though I've known this, I don't know on a daily or weekly basis exactly what is going on in her life. And so I don't know how many times I've just listened to a song and I'm like, she needs to hear this. And so I'll send it to her. You know, we're thankful for technology and smartphones that you can just send the actual YouTube video with the words. And every time she has responded and said, you don't know what that did for me today. It spoke to exactly what she was going through. And so she was able to encounter Jesus and his love. And then I have a niece who lives out of state, and I've been able to FaceTime her and pray for her, and she's been able to encounter the love of Jesus. And then I just listen. I listen. Here lately I've been mailing cards, and I sit and I And I could be driving, and God just, and I know that He gives me the names of who to send a card to. And they just will text me and say, "You don't know what that meant to me." And the last thing I just wanted to share was, at Christmas, I felt like the Lord gave me a few names of some women that I just hadn't seen in a while, and told me to buy them flowers, fix them up in a vase, and take them with some cookies or something. And they were all very appreciative, but there was one young girl, and I know I heard the Lord, because she just wept. So she got to encounter Jesus just from something that I thought was really simple, but it truly was a big deal for her.
Come on, cool. All right, Miss Jen. So Kay Bays, that's how she be the light, right? Now, Jennifer, I asked different people with a lot of different ways, because I think there's 1,000 ways to be the light. So Jennifer has a very unique way she be the light.
So I was thinking about my grandmother, because growing up, she would always have people over her house. She loved to cook for people. She would cook for the church through the week. And whenever she opened her doors, everybody would show up. Cousins, their friends, neighbors, everybody would show up. She didn't have a big house. She didn't even have a clean house. But they would show up because of what she brought. So that feeling that I got to experience, that love, that Jesus' love, I got to experience through that. Whenever we host people in our home, when we have our parties, when we cook for people, when we do things like that, I get to experience that same feeling, because we experience God for ourselves, but we also experience God through other people.
Yeah.
So whenever we do those things, I get to experience that. And the people that we give gifts to or come to our house get to experience God that way too. Another way I was thinking about how I personally experience God is whenever I'm cleaning house, doing chores, I don't look at them, I don't judge them. This is hard, this is bad, this is good, this is fun, right? I just decide to partner with Jesus in whatever I'm doing, and I get to experience joy and love and all those things while I'm cleaning the toilets, right?
Yeah.
Because the Bible says that today is before us is life and death, and it says choose life. So we get to do that every day. And even the times when I don't choose life, I get to have a conversation with God about that. So
come on. Thank you, Jennifer. What a unique way, and a lot of us have got to experience love through Kay and Jennifer, and those are very unique. You know, listen, is there a plan? Does God have a plan? Does He have a plan? You know what? He does have a plan, and it's unstoppable. It's like a tsunami. You know, it's like a tidal wave that you can't stop His plan. So, first part of His plan, we've already gone there. You're already familiar with that. I love this verse. I don't know why this verse in Matthew has always got stuck in my head. It's like Matthew 4:12, land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. He's quoting out of Isaiah here. Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. What better time in the history of the world to shine a light than when it's really, really, really dark? Now listen, it's no fun stumbling around in the dark, is it? We're going to look at a passage where the scriptures talk about that. Listen, it's not. But if you have a light, you don't stumble in the dark, even when it's dark. What happens to the dark when you light a candle? You ever been in one of those huge caverns underground where it's completely dark? And you go on a tour like up to North Arkansas, and you're in this cavern in this huge room that's 4 stories high, and they turn the lights off, and it is pitch black. And you stand there. And if you're me, you grab people's ankle while you're standing there just for fun and listen to them squeal. And I got in trouble for that. I was only 10. It's what 10-year-old boys do. Right. Okay, it was last year. Well, and then the guy, what's he do? He lights a match, one single match, and you can see the entire room, hundreds of yards all the way around you, all the way up to the ceiling. Listen, there's no competition, right? God said, there has been a light that's dawned. And you guys know that's true. And you know, here's what He says in John 8. And if you look at John from chapter 1 all the way to the end, Jesus is talked to. The Lord uses light as a picture of who we are, who Jesus is. He says, when Jesus spoke again to the world, Jesus said these words, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, God has a plan, and his name was Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, every time we create opportunities, every time we do that, every time we be the light that's in Christ shines in the world again. And it's unstoppable. Can you imagine what happened when, I can't even get this in my mind, it's just so, it's like, you know when Jesus went to the cross, Satan and all the demons and everybody thought they were killing him. All of his disciples thought he was going to die and never come back. No one knew. No one believed he was coming back. And so they killed him, right, on the cross. He died. He chose his death. They didn't take his life. The centurion soldier said, I've seen a thousand deaths. And I'm going to tell you, that man chose. He's the only one I've ever seen. He was in charge of his own death. And can't you imagine how happy Satan was and all his little demons? They were like, party time, Jesus is in the grave. And they were like throwing parties, and they were going to branch out and control the world, right? But guess what? Can you imagine the demon, the one demon, I'm sure they had, maybe they had two, that were actually watching Jesus, like had him buried. And they're like, when he started moving, they were like, he moved. I saw him move. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. Go tell, go ring the alarm. No, I'm not doing that. They'll kill me. No, do it, do it. And so Jesus sits up, and they tried to push him back down. Can you imagine how hopeless that was? They're pushing Jesus down. Jesus is sitting up. And so they go get everybody on the whole cell block, everybody in that, everybody. And they're like all holding Jesus down. They're dogpiling. And Jesus is like, I think I'll get up now. And then Satan himself, and it's nothing could stop our Savior from coming alive. You see, that's the light of the world. And Jesus said, I'm that light, and I can't. Whoever follows me. You see, I want you to realize this. You know what happens to us? How come we don't want to be the light? Do you know one reason we don't want to be the light? Is because we think that darkness is equal to light. No, worse. Now, we don't think that in our minds. But inside, we believe that the devil's more, we believe the darkness is overtaking the light. We believe more in the darkness and its power to control the world than we believe in the light. And, you know, we have proof. We tell ourselves that. That's our proof. That's the most foolish scientific proof I've ever heard. Listen, darkness, there's no competition. It's not. Darkness is not winning the battle. It lost 2,000 years ago when it couldn't keep Jesus in the grave, and now he's seated in heaven on a throne. What's he doing on that throne? He's fretting and worrying and just like, oh, God, I don't know if they're going to make it. God, it'll look so good. Have you seen the news, God? Have you looked at the American government? Do you know who our president is or who he's not? Or you know, it's like, who determines the outcome of your life? Come on, why don't you be with me? Just run out in the street. Let everybody call you a fool. That's a hard word to say. Listen, why don't you just be a fool for Jesus? Well, but you want me to deny what science is telling me? Yes. You want me to deny what the news is saying? Yes. You want me to be happy in the midst of a chaos? Yes. Yeah, but look at abortion. I know. Who wins? You see, we believe that there's a battle going on. No, Jesus won the battle. You know who gets to sit on the throne is who won. And 2,000 years ago he won, and he hasn't changed a bit. So we've got to come to faith about this, that what the light is greater than the darkness. So I want two more people. This is sort of funny. Actually, Dwayne, would you come up here? Dwayne, then we have a video by Jared once Dwayne. Dwayne, I just picked people who have a big variety of ways of being the light. You go, Dwayne. This is so exciting. He's like electric when he steps on the stage. It's like, I just get excited. Yeah. It's on. It was on. What'd you turn it off for? There. Turn it back. You turned it off.
Shows how often I get up here. So thinking about this a lot after Pastor Allen asked me about this, I think the biggest thing for me since becoming a believer and stuff like that is being an instructor and just sharing God's love through encouragement with students. I've had so many of them come up to me afterwards saying, hey, you know, I didn't think I'd make it through this without your encouragement. Not just sharing the knowledge of how to be a flight engineer on C-130s, but just encouragement about that they are capable of it. They liked my being real about it. One of the first things I always tell them every day one is I may get a little lexidexic, and if I say something one way and say something another way later on, call me out on it, and I don't get my feelings hurt because I know we need to make things clear. So I really put them at ease, and I think it's just the love of Christ in me being confident that way and giving them confidence. I share that way of making an encounter for them.
Yeah, amen.
And it's just, and I don't know, I've just had several students and later on, you know, just saying, man, it was just so great. We just really appreciate it. And I'm like, well, I have to think to myself, well, it was the Lord that has changed me and helped me grow to become that.
Amen.
So I just want to encourage you guys to spend that time with them and think that, okay, just because it's not an encounter where 50 people give their lives to the Lord, every encounter matters.
Amen. Come on. Be the light, Dwayne. Thank you. Isn't that good? C-130 something teacher thing. I don't know what he does. We have a video. Our online community is real. And they're being the light, too. And so I just asked Jared Young if he would share with us.
Hey, Grace. It's Jared Young. Pastor Allen called me and asked me to just say how we are creating an environment for people to encounter God. And one of the big ways that me and Beth do it is we just make space in our lives for people so that they can encounter Him through community and family. We really believe that God's plan is family, and we built little homes and families to where people can come in and hang out and be themselves and say what they're feeling and how they're doing. Some nights it's just even telling stories, hanging out, having a good time, but it's creating that space inside of our lives so that we can come together and lean it on one another and help each other through moments. And we do that not only in small group, but we're also doing it in our work environments as well, where we just create space for people to be themselves. We don't ask people to come any differently. They don't have to dress up spiritually, but they just come straight as who they are, true and authentic. And I believe that when you create environments where people are allowed to be authentic, that's how they encounter God. It's through those moments. And sometimes, like I said, it's laughing. Sometimes it's crying. Sometimes it's being there for one another. Sometimes it's telling stories and hanging out, playing video games, hanging out through Zoom. That's all that we're doing a lot right now. But we just believe that creating that space, we're allowing people to encounter God through one another. And that's a really big deal. So that's how we do it practically in our lives. Have a good Sunday, guys.
Thank you, Jared. Isn't that a big deal? I love the way that he said that, creating space for people. And, of course, Beth is pregnant. She's creating space for another people right now. So that's one way, too. But it's all the same. It's all a big deal. And I love that there's lots of different ways to do that. Jesus said this in John 9, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither. And then Jesus said this, this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. The darkness isn't winning. The light's going to shine brighter as the darkness gets darker. And the light always drives out darkness. You see, you were created for this day. And there's a thousand different ways you can be light. There's a thousand different ways to create opportunities for people to encounter God. And that's, I love that people, all these different ways are talking. He said, listen, as long as it's day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night's coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So guys, it's like, that's our mission. We have a purpose. We have a destiny, and it's to create light for people. And say that with me. Be the light. Do you know that's God's plan? That he did his part? He did his part. Now what's he say? In him was life, and Jesus said, and Jesus was life. That life was the light of all mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. God wins. There's no battle. There's no battle. The darkness just makes the light look better. The darkness makes God's glory whenever we bring light into those places. And God created us to be those kind of people. You have to be the light. I love this next part. Daryl Fisk, it's funny, for years, I guess he was with Pastor Tim when they had the house church, and then they came together to become a part of Grace. And I'd be talking to Daryl, and he would say this often. Because we'd be talking about the church and the body of Christ and people's needs and helping people move, and you know, the toilet stopped up again, the lights are messed up. We'd be talking about all that stuff all the time. And Daryl had this favorite saying, you know, well, they should take care of that. Daryl'd say, I am they. You know, it's like you come up with the idea, like have you seen the spot on the carpet up here, dead center, middle? Don't look at it. And don't say they should clean that, because you are they, right? And it's like being responsible is who we are. If you're a parent, don't look down. I had a lady that was a friend of mine. She had like 27 children, actually four, I think. They're all like waist high down. And it was like just really. And I said, how do you do it? She said, you're not responsible if you don't make eye contact with them. Like, I thought she had a bad neck because she just walked around. She never looked down. And I'm like, I gotcha. Because you are they. Who's responsible? We are. Who's going to be the light? Oh, isn't that interesting? I am they. I am they. Here's what Jesus said. You. Who was you? You are you. You. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And you're not just a single light. You're a town. You're a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. You know, I loved sports when I was young, and up until like 20-something years old, football was my life, you know. And those of you, I want to do it up here, it just takes too long. You know, there's 11 people on offense trying to score a touchdown. There's 11 people on defense trying to keep them from scoring a touchdown, right? And I played offense in college, and it was interesting to me. I was an offensive lineman, and you have these X's and O's. That doesn't mean hugs and kisses in my world. X's stood for the defense. O's stood for the offense. And so you had this chalkboard. You were constantly drawing up plays. And I don't know if you ever realize this. I mean, I was in college before this sunk into my head. I'm looking at that board as coach is drawing the plays, and I'm like, if every one of us on offense does our part, we'll score a touchdown every play. Wow. And we just had to do our part. I block my guy, you block your guy, you fake your guy out, I block my guy, we'll score a touchdown every play. But wow. You know, that's not true in football, because things always happen. It is true in the kingdom. You see, the devil wants to convince you to hide your light. To hide your light. You don't put your light under a bushel. Don't put it under a basket. You see, the devil spends a lot of time trying to make us think we should keep our light hidden. And how can he win this battle? The only way he can win is if one of us doesn't do our part. And that's why I have so many different testimonies today, because there are so many different parts. Like, I want Harvey, would you and Amanda come up here? I told him short, so we'll see if he can do it. He's going to go first. He has a lot to say.
I promise. I had something else I was going to talk about, but I'll just, about my home group. I've got a small home group. It's not real small, but you know, the key thing that we try to do is keep relationships with everyone. You know, this year there's been a lot of people that hadn't been coming, but we want to call each one of them every week and ask how they're doing, what we can do for them. And I encourage this last Wednesday for everybody in our home group to be calling those people. And, you know, you call someone that hadn't been there in a while and they get excited. And that's one way we can bring life to them. See, that was
sharp. Whoa, give Harvey a big hand. Be the light, Harvey. Come on. I love, before Amanda, I asked Amanda, I saw something in her life I'll ask her to share. But I want to tell you, Harvey's been leading a home group, a connect group now. Kay's been leading connect group. How long, Harvey? 20 years. And most of you, if you're not in his group, you probably aren't even aware of it. And his group brings light. Everyone in that group that is important when they come. You know, we just don't realize that, how big a deal it is. And how big it is. That's a big deal to open your home for 20 years every week. Him and Catherine have done that. It's quite amazing. Miss Amanda.
Okay, so I've never spoken in a microphone. It sounds kind of weird. But I'd like to say that just the showing up matters. Like, I used to not realize that. Like, I'd come to group for a minute and I'd come a couple times and I wouldn't come. I think it doesn't matter if I'm here, my part doesn't matter, but it does. Your presence is, it matters. Your gift and my gift and, yeah, your perspective and my perspective.
That's true.
And so I've shown up to Dana's gift, or her gift, her group, three times, and I've had three separate encounters with God since I've shown up to her group. Like, one, for example, I don't know if it was the one before last, but we were just going to sit and she encourages us to just be in his presence. Well, for me, I can't do that because my brain never shuts off. My mind 24/7 is just spinning. So it's hard for me to just sit and be in his presence. So she explained to us that she imagines herself just sitting in a swing and just with God. So I sat there and imagined myself just sitting next to him, and I put my head on his shoulder and I even put my hand on his leg, and I thought that was kind of funny. So I'm just sitting there, just in his presence, not thinking, not asking, not nothing. And I heard him tell me to just stay. Well, for me, that's big because I run. You know, I run from things. So that was the first encounter. And so she encouraged us to go home and do this, you know, just try to sit in his presence. So me and Tommy sit in what I call my smoke shed, and we listen to praise music and stuff. And so we were doing that the other night, and I just wanted to sit in his presence. So I imagine myself just, I think I reached my arms out in my mind or something, and I saw Jesus. He was swinging me around. It's like I was 2 years old. I felt like I was back in Amarillo, Texas, where I was born, and he was swinging me around, like, and I just felt the love of a true dad. Like, I felt love that was before I was even born.
Yeah.
Wow. And, you know, it's hard for me to receive God's love, so that was big, but that's just an encounter for me showing up to her group. So that's really important to just show up. Another way that I think I help others encounter God is that I work for DHS, and my job is called a child care service specialist. And what's cool about that title is it's service and specialist. So it's like I get to serve the children and families of Arkansas. And when I got this job, I needed a lanyard, and I don't have a lanyard because I just don't have one. And so for some reason, I went to go look in the junk drawer, and there was a blue lanyard, and guess what it said? God shining light. And I was like, that's just amazing. It's like it's meant to be. So like I get to go in these places and interact with staff and children. And when I go in, guess what? God's there because he's in me. So it's like whether it's offering encouraging words or just kindness or love, you know, I encourage the staff. And so that's one way that I think I, you know, help bring that. And the other thing is just like for me, I don't like people. I don't like to answer the phone. I don't like to talk. But lately I've been trying to just answer the phone, just to listen, kind of like Kay said, just to, you know, be there for someone. But encounters aren't just falling out on the floor, overcome by the Holy Spirit. It's not having to come up at the end of church just to get a prayer. They happen through us in our presence. So,
woo, come on. Thank you, Amanda. Got it. God. Be the light, Amanda. And part of her job is to make sure daycares are doing right. She may not be the favorite person when she walks in to some people, but I tell you, the other day I was talking to her and I was thinking, you know, I've had this happen to friends of mine where a divorce has happened or something has happened, and a dad, single dad, now has little, you know, two-year-old. They have to go to work. They have to put the child in daycare. And who makes sure that daycare is safe? Who makes sure that it's clean, that there's no abuse going on? That's part of Amanda's job. And that dad will never know that how much you know, Amanda would never know how much that meant to him that his child's in a safe environment. One more quick thing. You and Dana Wessel, you're giving up. Where's Dana? Dana, you've raised a disciple.
Okay, so I just wanted to say one more thing. I want y'all to understand that the kids right now are really suffering. I feel like they're under attack because of everything that's going on. So just imagine kids before COVID were able, you know, their parents were able to walk them into the classroom, say goodbye, you know, because kids, it's hard. They have separation anxiety. Now they go with a person that's just got a mask. They, you know, reach out to take their temperature. The parents can't take the kids to the classroom. It's traumatizing. They're all affected by it, especially the older kids. So everybody needs to pray and just be compassionate and just realize that they're going through a lot and it's hard. So I just want to say that too.
It is. All right, cool. Amanda, thank you. So who did Jesus, I'm talking about my granddaughter, who did Jesus say, I'm sorry, Khalil, she didn't have an accent, who did he say is the light of the world? Yeah, be the light. We're at your job, in your neighborhood. I mean, you know why that lady smiled so much when Kay gave her cookies? She likes cookies, you know? No, it's 1,000 different ways to be the light. And you know what? It's interesting. It's the life of Him shining in us that's the light. And it's supernatural, and it's beyond anything you could ever imagine. And you know what? You know the world. You want to see the world change? Jesus had the answer for it 2,000 years ago when He said these words. Look what He said. Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble. But, as they see the world's light, it's when a person walks at night, they stumble. Why are people making such bad decisions right now? Why are people doing things that are just crazy? Because they're in the dark. You know, if you turn all the lights off in here and shut off the exit signs and it was totally black and we said fire, we would all trip and stumble on the chairs. You'd probably trip and stumble on me because I would be first out. And, you know, it's like you couldn't see. If you can't see, you can't help but stumble. And we're cursing the world. Guys, we're cursing the world. We're judging the world when Jesus said they can't see. And guess whose responsibility is to turn the light on? And we do it 2 billion ways. There's 2 billion followers of Christ on earth today. 2 billion lights out there. You know what? The world changes not at a government level. It doesn't change at the national level. It doesn't change at the kings and whatever. That's not who changes the world. It's every little light that shines. And we shine our light, and it'll affect the people next to us. Dana had an illustration she wanted to do, and we don't have time because we have a bet going on. But, you know, you get it. You've heard that in people's testimonies today. It's like when you're in the light, you're light. You know what? I am they. I am they. Quit complaining and shine your light. The trouble is, you think, one, the devil's bigger than God, that he's winning this battle, and two, you don't think your light matters. Yes, it does. Just like on the football game. Every person does their job, everyone does their part, and we score a touchdown every time. And Jesus, you know whose plan that was? Somebody way smarter than you. Yeah, but he doesn't know he's smarter than you. It's God's plan. He has no other plan because that plan is right. It's going to work. Be the light. I have a couple of more testimonies, and these are real easy. This is interesting. And I asked people, I see light in all of you guys. I see light in you every time I look at you. Like, you don't even realize it. Like, it's funny, Dwayne didn't say it, but Dwayne is like super anal. Like, when he lines up these chairs, they have to be with it. I shouldn't have said that word. He's super detail-oriented. He lines up the chairs. They have to be perfect. Well, you know what? That's part of the way he shines his light. That makes a difference. You know, one of the things that Jennifer does is they're decorating when she hosts and those things. You know what? That brings the light of God into the world. No, it doesn't. She's not preaching. Who said it's just preaching? That's our creation. That's not his creation. So I want to, Art has a unique way he shines his light. And I know y'all know Art's on the worship team. Y'all know things about him. Yay, Art, come on up. And then I want him to share some of the ways he creates opportunities for people to encounter God.
Well, one way is I go around all day long acting like Tim Bays.
Amen.
I figured that would shine the light. Now, one thing I do that when I started participating in 24-hour prayer was, I guess God gave me an idea that I wanted to do a light show, to where instead of just people coming in and doing their own thing, I would put lights up. So the day before I would do my two-hour set, I would come in and set up all these different lights through the sanctuary, and then when it was time for to start, Stephanie Clark would help me. And then we'd turn all the lights off, and then, boom, we had all these different lights. And it was just a different way to encounter the Lord.
Yeah, come on. And I thank you, Art. I really enjoyed the light shows, and it's been a while. But I encounter God every time. I'd come in here and work on my sermons, me and the lights. and Art was here sometimes, but it was good. Okay. Miss Dana.
Thank you.
Here you go.
So one thing that I'm learning through this whole journey is that it truly is, like Ms. Kay said, it's all about connection with the Lord. It's not about working or striving or even performing. It's solely out of that connection that we're able to go out and be the light for people. Yeah. And so my story that I wanted to share was one Sunday morning I went to Neighborhood Market, and my goal was to run in real fast to get a cake mix and come right out. It's one of those things, you put your sweatpants on, your hair in a bun, you don't want anybody to see you. That was that day for me.
Yeah.
And so I'm running out, and so I heard the Lord said, "You see that truck over there?" And it's like my eyes already knew where to go, because I was like, "Yeah, I see it." And he's like, "I want you to tell her she's a good mom." And I was like, at that point, I was like, "I don't even know if it's a woman or a man." You know, I was just kind of talking to God, and he's like, "Go tell her." And so it was way across Walmart parking lot. So I got in my vehicle, and I was going to drive over to her and tell her she was a good mom. So I get in my car, and I back out. And as I back out, she pulls off. And I'm like, what do I do now? You know,
stalker.
I know, I did. So So the Lord's like, just wait. And so I just stood there, and then she came right out in front of me and turned, and she turned into the Dollar General, which was right down the road. So I pulled in there. So she pulls in, and she realizes they're closed. So she starts to leave again. And I'm like, I'm going to follow this lady everywhere she goes. And so finally she stopped, and I can tell she was on her phone, I guess maybe going to figuring out the next stop. And so I pulled up next to her, and I was like, this is my moment here. And so I pulled up next to her, and I get out, and she opened that little slide window, and I said, back there at Walmart, I noticed you, and I'm supposed to tell you, the Lord wants you to know that you're a good mom. And I touched her hand when I said that. When I touched her hand, I could feel such hurt, and I could feel such pain that I began to weep. And when I said that to her, she looked at me and she began to weep. And she said, why would you say that to me? And I said, the Lord just told me to tell you you're a good mom. She said, my son died a month ago. And so she got to have that encounter with the Lord. So that's what it looks like.
Amen. Be the light, Dana. Does it matter for you personally to realize that you're important? That you're the you Jesus is talking to. It carries great responsibility. And you know what's beautiful is he's the power. We're just the light. We're just the you part. And I think when we think about that, knowing, you know, I don't know about you, but when I know I'm responsible, that my life is matters, I have courage. I'm motivated. You know, it's like something supernatural happens inside of me when I take responsibility for something. And I don't mean legalistic, hokey responsibility, because it all looks different. I was thinking yesterday, Pastor Tim and Mike Reed and Tayton. Yeah, Tayton, he's right there. They came by the church yesterday afternoon. I'm working on this message, and they did something. And I went out. When I heard them, I went out into the foyer, and I went out there, and I didn't actually go out to see Tim or Mike. I went to see Tayton, because there's a light inside of him that I get to experience every time I see him. You know what he does every time I see him? He smiles. And yeah, he did it. He's doing it now. He did it. I walk out in the foyer. They don't know that I'm not there for them. I really could care less what Mike and Tim are doing. I wanted to see Tayton. And you know what Tayton did? He smiled at me. That's the light, Tayton. It's the light inside of you. And you didn't even know that it was a blessing. It encourages me. I'm like on Sunday mornings, when I come here, and it's just funny. I told Lisa I thought about her. Before they, God love her. She's Tommy's daughter. But other than that, I know it's like, sorry, Tommy. But the truth is, when she wasn't here, was it last week? When she wasn't here last week, I missed her. Because she always greets me, and she always says hi and encourages me. And just seeing you and encouraging you, Lisa, I mean, you know, it just does. And I think that we don't realize how much we are the light everywhere we go. And you know what? Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith on the world? I, for one, want to be, yeah, God, I believe, God, that you're greater than the darkness. Yeah, but you look like an idiot. I don't care. Because I want to live by faith. My faith says, God said, let there be light. And since that moment, the light has never stopped growing and increasing in the world. And Jesus is so confident. He's seated at the right hand of his Father on a throne, ruling and reigning until we make all of the darkness an enemy under his feet. He's confident. I want to believe in him. I believe in him no matter what it looks like. And I believe in him in you and him in me. And we have to choose to believe. It's faith. We're believers. I believe in God and his power more than I believe in the news or the government or the education system or the financial. No, God. God is greater than all of those things. And what a great time in the world, the history of the world, for somebody to stand up and say, I'll be the light. I'll do it. Well, it's no good. It won't do any good. I am not going to hide my light under a bushel basket. If all I do is encourage people by falling down sometimes and making them laugh, I'll do it, God. I don't know. I want to encourage you guys. Keep being the light. I wish I could let every one of you talk. And if you can't think of anything, I can tell you something about you. And I'm not even prophetic because I see it. Guys, let's be the light this week. Grace Fellowship, this is our mission from God, I believe. We create opportunities. We do it. On purpose, by faith, we do it. And you know what? We will do mouth to mouth with that dead squirrel until something changes. Yeah, but you're a fool. For Jesus, I am. Guys, let God give you a little Holy Ghost. Optimism. I couldn't think of that word. I'm not an optimist because I'm an optimist. I'm an optimist because I'm a follower of Christ. Amen? So let's all stand up. Peter Baker, come on up. You don't get to talk. Thank you, Jesus. Dana, Missy called me last week. She said, you're not going to let Peter have a microphone, are you? I said, no. No, we'd be here all day. Let's just let the Lord come. You know, we didn't tell you. A good friend, a man we admire. I don't know him that well. I've known him for 20 years. Galen passed away, Harvey's sister's husband, yesterday. And the family's having a service Thursday. Randy's coming. And so y'all be praying for Harvey's family. Harvey's speaking. He's one of the three preachers at this outdoor funeral. And it's going to be interesting, but Harvey's going to bring the light. They want him to speak, even though it's hard to speak when somebody close to you passes away, and especially somebody you might have a little bitterness towards. How many of you have ever been a part? Have you ever played baseball? You know a triple play is like getting three outs in one play. It's like I've never been a part of a triple play. I've seen them in the pros, like, you know, the really good baseball players. It's really an honor to be a part of the triple play. Unless you're the guy that hit the ball that was the last one that got thrown out. Harvey's brother-in-law, Galen, actually threw Harvey out. Harvey was the last out on a triple play when they were in high school. We'll be telling that story at the funeral. And you were part of making history, Harvey. Galen was a hero. You were the chump. But Y'all be praying for Pastor Harvey and Catherine and the family. It's a hard time. We've had a death in our family during this COVID thing, and it's difficult, you know, but it's okay. You shine in the darkest hours, shine, and Jesus will have received the glory. Amen. So this morning, if you need prayer, there'll be somebody down front that want to pray with you. And I encourage you all, be the light this week. Be the light. Somewhere, somehow, be the light. And watch Jesus receive the glory. So God, I just thank you for people that we get to touch, people that we get to serve, we get to love. God, I thank you for every way that the people at Grace, the people that are here and the people that are home, God, that they've impacted my life, that they've been light to my life. And so, Lord, I just say this week, help us to shine bright. God, just make us bold and believe in you and us and you and the world. And Jesus, we just want to be the people that stand up and say you're good, that the darkness doesn't win, that you are greater than all the darkness combined. So, Jesus, we just thank you and we praise you. Amen. God bless you guys. If you'd like somebody to pray with you, there'll be people up front.